Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, joined by Rich Rebar, returning victorious from the Flag Football Champions. I'm sitting here with a man who's got a championship ring on to discuss a bunch of dudes trying to get a championship ring. We're going to go through the all the games in the divisional rounds. I mean, not really. I feel like our soul reads were pretty on. I think we got winners 6-6 of the... I know we got winners of 6-6 for Super Wildcard Weekend. We both hammered Dallas. We were all over that one.
The only thing that got me was I was on the Viking side just for the betting for the historical stuff. Sure. Not that I was super confident in the Giants, but the Chargers Jaguars game, the Cowboys game got me all that and them some this weekend.
Yeah, well, and I bet the Dolphins last Monday. I had 10.5 thinking there was a chance we would get two or Teddy, and then just luck box the shit out of that one to get the cover. Bet Jacksonville at halftime at 16-1, fell asleep, woke up to that one, was all over Dallas. So we're feeling good. We are confident heading into the divisional round. And I'm gonna shock you, and I'm gonna shock the world here right now. I'm taking Jacksonville and the points. Now, I obviously would not bet this. Like, I'm not going to bet against the Chiefs with my own money, but I don't think betting the Chiefs minus 8.5 points here is particularly good. That's just not like, yeah, they won by 10 in the game they played earlier this season, but the Jaguars are for sure going to be trying to get the points in garbage time. The Chiefs defense stinks. I think the Chiefs win, but they're just, you know, this version of the Chiefs is not scoring like 45 points all the time anymore.
Yeah, this is the trickiest line, I think, and even game angles to try to bet on. It might be more of a player prop game. I still kind of lean the Chiefs, but the Chiefs, yeah, 2-7-1 in their last 10 games covering the spread. I was a Jacksonville backer regular season on this show, and they did not cover this game. It was like they got super
unlucky though.
They did.
Like, yeah. But like,
to be fair though, they won the turnover battle. They had zero turnovers. The Chiefs had three. And Doug Peterson failed to understand the full assignment in that game. If you remember in that game, the Jaguars opened the game up with an onside kick and they get it. And it's like, yep. Oh, yes, they understand the mission, right? And then the very next two drives, that same drive they were covered onside kick, and the very next drive, they punted in Chiefs territory.
Like, not great.
That's not the signal you want to send, right? Like, you're selling your team like, dude, we are going to steal possessions. We are going to play balls to the wall aggressive. Like, we are going to get this, right? Like, we are going to go for every chance to win this game. And then you punt in Chiefs territory the opening two drives, and you're down 20-0, and you've had three takeaways. And like, yeah, so I don't think, hopefully they learn from that and they at least just keep their foot on the pedal this time. But that was a disappointing to see Doug kind of half step, just go knees deep in the water.
Yeah. I mean, I think this game will at least make the Chiefs bleed their own blood a little bit. Like, I don't think this is going to be like a Mahomes ring around the rosy flipping passes behind his back. Like, I think the Jaguars will make him work for it a little bit, but to be honest, I just don't really think they're in any threat of losing. And like, you know, whatever. No. Old takes expose me if you need to. Whatever you guys will do to me, I will be way more upset if the freaking Chiefs lose to the Jaguars on Saturday afternoon. I'll be apoplectic. It's not gonna be good. It just It feels like Lawrence has such a wide variability in like what he does, mm-hmm. possession to possession. There's like one drive, it's like, shit, this dude's Matt Flynn. And then the next drive, you're like, oh my God, Trevor Lawrence, he's the one who's chosen. He's going to be the great. I don't have any explanation. I would need like a guy who's better at film and stuff to be like, why is Lawrence just like miss these throws all the time?
I mean, it was a rough, he's given us a few, like you said, you know, there's a wide chasm, even in that Chiefs game, you know, he started off slow and then got hot in the second half. I mean, last Saturday was it on, you did it in the same game, but he also has these games like against the Titans in week 18, the Lions a few weeks earlier, where just like this offense, like really sputters, right. And it's stagnant. Also too, like the way to beat the Chiefs is like to have an elite receiver, right? Like they're terrible against elite receivers, and the Jags kind of don't really have a true number one. They just have a bunch of a solid players. So that's, it's kind of, I don't, and also are the Jaguars stopping the Chiefs on any level? Like the Jaguars defense is absolutely terrible in the middle of the field, and Mahomes killed them in the middle of the field. Their pass rush is inconsistent. I just don't see a situation where the Jaguars like stop the Chiefs from getting
30. I just don't think any defense can actually stop them if Mahomes is playing like a B plus or better game. I just like, I just don't even think it matters. But yeah, I'm totally with you.
But this in particular team, like where the Jaguars struggle is like that's where the Chiefs are killing you. If you look at like Mahomes this year compared to previous years, he's got the lower A dot. He's the highest percentage of yards, passing yards come after the catch. Like they bleed you with running backs and tight ends. I mean, only the Ravens have targeted their wide receivers at a lower rate this season than the Chiefs. Oh. And they're just out here like rotating these guys. Like, have you noticed like no one's even playing full time anymore? Like not even Juju. You know, he's only running a route like on basically 75% of the team dropbacks now. Like they're just rotating dudes in and out because they're just relying on these backs and tight ends in the passing game. They're playing a lot more. Noah Gray's playing a lot more.
Yeah, Noah Gray is like officially becoming like an interesting, like this guy is actually sneakily important to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I kind of am on some Noah Gray anytime touchdowns, maybe his own receiving yards. He had a touchdown in this game. We saw the Chargers tight ends absolutely just eviscerate the Jaguars. That's been something that's happened all year. They just can't guard the middle of the field. You know, Gerald Everett looked like Ozzie Newsome, you know, in that game on Saturday. So I like, yep. You know, Kelsey's hard for DFS to always play just because he's so expensive, you know, especially with
Noah Gray. Noah Gray is in my draft, like my shell for the four gamer. I've got Noah Gray in there. I mean, I think it's like a tight end. It's like either you get one guy who nukes the slate, or you just get a guy who gets 12 points. Like no Gray can catch a touchdown against the Jaguars. Like why not? You know?
Yeah. I love it. I've tried to build a little bit with Kelsey and it's really hard. So it's always
yeah, it's super hard. Okay. Our next game, the New York Football Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles. I got the Eagles -7.5 here. It feels like two things are happening. So the market is really reacting to the Giants beating up on a pretty mediocre Vikings team last week. But also, I think it is that the Eagles needed to win that week 18 game against the Giants. The Giants were playing all their backups and they kind of scuffled to win that game. And I feel like that's playing into it a little bit as well. But I'm just writing that off as Hurts' shoulder was still a little bit banged up. They were a little rut, like just like whatever. I basically am just saying I'm taking the whole resume of the Eagles, the whole resume of the Giants. And I'm saying, hats off to Dable, but I don't really buy it.
Yeah. I think that's the case on Saturday is you look at both the Jaguars and the Giants and you just feel really good about where you are. You're like, you know, new regimes, success first season. You even won a playoff game under these new coaches. Everything's trending positively, probably ends here for both of those teams. I love the Eagles first half line in this game. You know, if you look at both of these teams, the Giants are a notorious slow starting team. They're averaging just 1.6 points per drive in the first half of games. It's 26th in the NFL. They've scored in just 29% of their drives in the first half. That's 28th in the NFL. The Eagles are opposite. They lead the NFL in points per drive in the first half of games. They lead the NFL in scoring rate per drive. And in when these two teams played in the regular season, the Eagles outscored them 40-7 in the first half. You can grind assault week 18 if you want, but even with Daniel Jones under center in week 14, the Giants only averaged 4.5 yards per play and were getting just absolutely flooded at halftime. So There's a couple books that DraftKings has it -3.5 at the first half for Eagles, -3.5. That's -120. FanDuel has it -4.5, which is the 10 cent juice. I like both of those a little bit more than the full 7.5, but I'm on board with the 7.5 still too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I do like that angle. Obviously you could get backdoored here. I noticed something funny about Daniel Jones that you could have given me 100 attempts to guess. I never would have guessed this. Daniel Jones has the lowest interception rate of any quarterback in the NFL,
yep,
which just totally goes against everything you would think of when you think of Daniel Jones, but does actually totally make sense in the context of who's coaching him now, right? Because Brian Daboll obviously coached up a pretty turnover prone, strong armed mobile dude in Josh Allen, and Allen, actually the turnover bug is starting to bite him a little bit again right now.
It's also hard to throw interceptions based on the skill players the Giants have, because they don't throw deep. They don't throw over the middle of the field, right? Like everything's bootlegs and on the move. So like, you're not going to turn the ball over when you're not pressed to the offensive structure because you don't have playmakers to put the ball in the middle of the field. You're just not going to turn it over.
That's true. Yeah. They really aren't turning it over.
It's kind of a byproduct of what they're working with, though. Like,
right,
you know, if you add some skill players, we might see Daniel Jones start throwing interceptions again.
Well, and my thought is, my thought is, if they're down 10 points going into the second half, like they're going to have to start trying some stuff. And then the sack fumbleitis that plagued Daniel Jones for the first 4 years of his career, I have a feeling might rear its ugly head. I don't want to talk down too bad about Daniel Jones. Like, clearly he fucking proved me wrong. Like he really, really did play well this year and earned the contract that the Giants are going to give him. Although it's a little bit of like a poison pill here, because the Giants are going to give him this contract, but I'm not really sure they should. You know what I mean? Like, he played well enough to earn it, but like, can Daniel Jones be good enough to be like, okay, you're the best team in the NFC East right now? I don't know, for real.
I'm waiting to see exactly what it ends up being. I imagine he's going to get an extension with the Giants. I just want to see what it is, right, before I judge.
Well, he's not going to get the Kyler Murray deal or whatever.
No, we know that. But I think if it's something similar to kind of like the area where Jameis Winston got, maybe a little bit more because, he played better. But I think that's what you're looking for, something smaller to be a bridge to give him more runway, like something like 3 years, right? 2 to 3 years, and not crazy, where it's kind of more incentive laden. So I'll wait and see what it is. That and Saquon too. They're going to extend Saquon, which is going to be interesting as well. So
they're going to give Saquon the bag. I feel like, yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, you nailed it though. I mean, this is them getting a lot of credit for beating a team nobody believed in.
Like the Giants were like the most popular upset pick last week anyways, but the market is sort of like double counting that victory over that team who were like, yeah, I mean, the Vikings just kind of stink. Their defense is
terrible. We all thought that the Vikings are bad. So,
yeah, I mean, I do like the Eagles -7.5. And I think that Hurts has now had what he's 6 weeks removed from the initial diagnosis of the shoulder sprain. So that he should be good. He should be good to go. Like, maybe if he was, because I think he ran 9 times in week 18 against the Giants, but for 13 yards, like he was not in there, you know, pushing the pile or whatever.
And three were kneel downs. So,
oh, I see. I didn't even know that. There you go. Reeves bringing the real stuff to the program. Yeah. So you got to think we're going to see more of Jalen Hurts, the rusher here. And DFS angle for me is nobody's clicking Devonta Smith's name on DraftKings because he's 7,400 and AJ Brown's 7,600. So Devonta Smith gets the gold star play of the week for me.
I like it. I mean, when these two teams played, and obviously the Giants, you know, they do play a lot of man coverage. They've toned it down a little bit the last month, but when they did play the Eagles, Devonta Smith actually led the team in targets and targets per route against man coverage. So I don't hate it, man. The Goddard's probably a good player. These linebackers for the Giants are just, they're out here playing Jalen Smith, like in the year 2023, Jahad Ward, like any tight end you want, like is going to eat against the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. All right. Cincinnati, Buffalo. I mean, I've gone back and forth on this one. Everyone's got a different opinion.
I know.
I just, I can't, honestly, I just feel bad for everyone involved. I feel bad for the Bengals. I feel bad for the Bills. I feel bad for the fans. I feel bad. Like, it just, it is unfortunate that three of the four best teams in the NFL are all in the AFC, so that these games have to happen. So,
and early. Last year it was this round that the Chiefs and Bills played. People forget that wasn't even the AFC Championship. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It was this round. So this is going to happen for a foreseeable future in the AFC, where just like these we're just going to get huge matchups early in the playoffs.
Well, but the Bills and the Bengals are also going to have to do what the Chiefs had to do, though. And at some point, they're going to have to take their medicine, right? So they're going to have a year.
And the Chargers.
And
the Jaguars.
Well, honestly, that's a good question. If you got to pick one guy going forward, Herbert or Lawrence,
I'm hands down taking Herbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah, dude, Herbert is so ridiculous. This year has warped people's brains on Herbert to the extreme. The dude is so good.
I started out the year already warped on Herbert because everyone was filleting him so much in the offseason. I mean, Herbert, I think, is clearly better. Yeah, than Lawrence, but it is actually, I hadn't even thought about that wrinkle, that there are now five teams with five of the 10 best.
Dude, Mahomes is the oldest AFC quarterback.
It's really insane.
He's older than Lamar. He's older than Tua. Obviously those guys didn't get to start in the playoff games, but they were.
Well, Kenny Pickett is actually the older AFC. AFC quarterback.
He's got to get in the playoffs. But yeah, Mahomes is the oldest starting quarterback in the AFC playoffs, man. And like really kind of the heart of the guys, the teams we believe are going to be good foreseeable. Like he's the old hat, which is wild.
Oh, I was talking about this with someone the other day. You know, how many guys came in the AFC when it was Manning, Roethlisberger, and Brady? Like, how many guys, like, just are totally forgotten to the echoes of time because they came in during that era? Like, and a ton of guys are going to come in the league right now, and it's going to be the same thing. It's like, yeah, you just – like, Derek Carr, great example. Like, pretty good quarterback, a lot of 4,000-yard seasons, but just – you know, never got it done because he was in the division with all these great quarterbacks. Like, so many guys are going to be lost to the sands of time because
every Jets quarterback from like, cause they've got to go through Brady, then Josh Allen. Like, it just is like a bridge. It's like the Jets just can't get it right. So like they just wash through quarterbacks.
I mean, imagine if the Jets get Tom Brady. I mean, can you imagine if they get him this offseason?
I don't know, man. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared to do the Brady stuff. I need a break. Yeah. I mean, so we talked about it last week, and I talked about it with Lauren too. And because, you know, that you're trying to, like, did everyone just forget like the previous 4 months, the Buccaneers?
Yes. Like, everyone did because of the narratives.
And it was the same thing. Every time they cut to any Bucs player during that game, it was the same story. Like the Buccaneers, it looked like no one enjoyed playing football for the Buccaneers this season on any level.
Everyone involved looked like they were having the worst day of their lives every time they played.
And it was the same thing on Monday night. It was just, So, you know, good for us, but hey.
So Bills, Bengals, I mean, I would say 5 points seems like a lot because I think these teams are for, I guess, 5.5 at most books now. Seems like a lot because I think these teams are pretty equivalent skill-wise. The Bills' defense has not been as good as they were projected to be. I think a lot of injuries. The Bengals' wide receivers are way better than the Bills' wide receivers outside of Diggs. You know, I mean, I Gabe Davis, I know, had a good game last week, but it's like, you know, Cole Beasley is involved. John Brown is getting elevated from the practice squad. Like, that's not great. But the Bills offensive line is just like horrible, man. And they got, well, they got three of their five starters out this week. The Bengals offensive line, three of the five starters out are questionable. I can't remember. I don't know. My sense is that the Bengals is the right. If I am having so much trouble calling it, like, just take the points.
Yeah.
But if Joe Burrow gets sacked like 9 times in this game, I probably am not going to be surprised.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think you look at the way the Bengals have been operating their offense since the middle of the season when they made like, and a lot of it was forced calibration due to how teams are structurally playing them. A lot of too high stuff, and the Bills play too high safeties, you know, the second highest rate in the league. the ball just, they're just getting rid of the ball so fast. I'm not sure it's like a match. Like, you'd love to have these guys, right? Like, you want them in, but I don't know if it really matters that much since Von Miller's been out there. The Bills are 26th in pressure rate. Like, I don't know if they're really going to get home that much. I think the ball's going to come out fast and the Bengals are going to keep playing offense structurally the way they've been playing it. The Bengals are getting 5 here, which feels definitely like a lot. And it's the side I want to be on.
It feels like a lot. Yeah.
Even if they don't end up winning, so the Bengals haven't lost a game that Ja'Marr Chase has played in by more than 3 points since last year against the Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the money stat, I think.
And I mean, I'm just going to take the 5. I feel like, you know, it's a little high anyways. I think the line is high for what it should be. It feels like we're getting a little bit of this price then for the offensive line stuff that might not matter. Man, I'm just going to take them. I'm going to take the 5 and hope that they either just, you know, win. I know a lot of people are money lining Bengals too. I don't know if I'll go that far. I'm just going to take the 5 and just call it that.
I mean, I think I would probably be more likely to bet the Bengals money line just because I think that the case for the Bengals covering and the Bengals winning are basically the same, which is
that's true.
They have the better. And to be honest, you know, no disrespect to Diggs, but I'd probably take Chase straight up over him too. Like, I think the Bengals have the better group of offensive weapons. And
The Bills have been bad against wide receivers, and they're facing, you know, a strength of team that is wide receiver heavy.
Yeah. And I mean, Josh Allen has just like lost his mind like 3 times per game, every game for the last month. And it's like, I know it's like, you know, you can't take that away from his game because you need to have like the insane unpredictability and the, like, you know, the touchdown he threw to Diggs against the Patriots. It's like, you'd never coach a guy to do that, you know, roll to your off foot, off the back foot, you know, 60 yards down the field over the safety's arms or whatever. But yeah, it's like the turnovers for Josh Allen are like a problem in the way in which they happen. It's because the Bills are favored in these games. And sometimes he kind of plays like they need a higher variance style.
I mean, that was the case. Very boomer bust last week. Only Skylar Thompson had more bust plays with over a full loss of one EPA per play. 25% of Allen's plays were that. Only Skylar Thompson was worse. I mean, last 9 weeks, he's 21st in EPA per dropback. It's been kind of, you know, like you said, it's been hit or miss. The skill players, I think, at Buffalo has really, they've started to open things up. They're playing a lot more spread. A lot more empty because they kind of started to realize like they kind of overestimated how good their skill players were outside of Diggs. They're trying a lot of things and it's worked out still for the large part, but there is just enough here bleeding in to where, man, the Bengals feel like they're just a little healthier, playing a little better. And I don't mind last week that because neither of these teams played good last week, but like, The Ravens have consistently shown like they are a hell date for the Bengals. Like we talked about it last week, they are
they're hell for everyone. They're just a terrible team to play against. I feel like
they're structured. They're specifically though like structured to like to give the Bengals like everything the Bengals do well. The Ravens are really great at taking that away.
Yeah.
And we talked about that last week. And shit, they almost won that game. They probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the Bengals here. I definitely like the 5. I can see them outright winning too. Something about the Bills feels a little off, but also part of, you know, everyone wants, we kind of want to root for the Bills because of DeMar Hamlin. Like it's tough.
Well, you know,
I like the 5 still.
Yeah. It's good. It's good with me. I'm going to bet the Bengals money line. I think that's where I'm at. Yeah, there's just something missing with Buffalo. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's something missing with the Bengals too, which is that, you know, on any given third down, Joe Burrow is like ready to take a massive 13-yard sack and just totally destroy your field position. So that happens. All right, final game, my former team versus your former team. Neither of us really care about these teams anymore. The Dallas Cowboys versus the San Francisco Giants. I gotta keep it on.
Giants, baby. Get Barry Bonds out here.
Oh, the Giants, the 49ers. That's so funny. I gotta keep it 100, man. I think this is the bad Brock game. I think this is the game where the fact that Brock Purdy was a guy who got worse every year at college and was a seventh round pick in a league that is absolutely starved for quarterbacks. I think this is going to be it. I think this is going to be the time where he gets put to the test a little bit, doesn't get a clean pocket every single throw. But like, again, dude, against Seattle, it was like the dude was playing flag football with like a five Mississippi count or whatever. The touchdown pass he threw to Debo was literally laughable. Like, he doesn't get touched. Debo doesn't get touched. I mean, that was, it was like fantasy football role play. I don't even know what it was. It was insane. I think the Cowboys are live to win. And I think that they cover this spread at the very least. I don't know if I can Bengals. I can take the money line. I don't know if I can take the Cowboys money line, but I think they can win this game.
This game, I think, is arguably the most intriguing game of the weekend.
No, I agree.
They basically have the two hottest teams in the NFL. Obviously the 49ers have won 11 games in a row. They're the number one in the NFL in point differential over that span. Number two is the Cowboys over that span. And you look at the Cowboys since Dak's come back, even with that terrible Commanders game mixed in, they've basically been number one in so many key metrics offensively. The 49ers have only faced two top 10 defenses in EPA per snap over that win streak. They were the Saints, and they only scored 13 points against the Saints, and they were the Commanders, who they did roast. And, you know, if you have a little common opponent, the Commanders did beat up on the Cowboys. The Cowboys at least have one good defense that they've faced too that they scored points on, and that's the Eagles. They scored 40 on the Eagles, right? Like, that's got to count for something. We've been chasing the bad Brock game, and it feels like we're going to chase it till we get it. But if there was a spot, this objectively would be the toughest matchup he's had. I mean, since he started in week 13, the defenses he's faced in passing points allowed per attempt, 25th, 15th, 26th, 28th, 27th, and 15th, the two 15s of the Seattle. So Seattle's the best defense he's faced as a starter. Not a great like litmus test, like a great rogues gallery that he's had to face. Dallas is 10th in the NFL in that category. They will give up some stuff on the back end. My thing is, I worry about two things with this. One, Dallas kind of got boned by the league here, playing on Monday night. 49ers played on Saturday. They're going from Tampa to San Francisco. It's their fifth road game in 6 weeks for the Cowboys too, as well. And the fact that they've lost all these cornerbacks, they've been playing a lot more three safety stuff. And like against the 49ers, like that's going to be harder to do to match up personnel wise. I feel like you need the bad Brock game, but I actually like the over in this game.
I do too. I like that angle a lot, because the Cowboys finally did something we've been begging them to do. I mean, last week, wild card playoffs was the most snaps Pollard has ever played in a game Zeke was active. Like they just, Kellen, I wonder if Kellen Moore just sat down with McCarthy and Jerry Jones and was like, look, let's win some football games, fellas. Like, let's get serious about this.
It was his highest share of backfield touches ever in a game that he and Zeke played together. This is definitely not a Zeke game, like running against the 49ers. What I like about this game in particular from the over angle is both of these teams are really good against the run and pretty sketchy against the pass, and particularly sketchy against guarding wide receivers. So I like for there to be like a lot of big plays in this game. You know, the only thing that worries about it, I think worries you the most from the over better, is if you do get the Purdy game, like the pressure is just too much and he just is squished. I think the Cowboys are going to score though. You look at the 49ers, they've really only faced two good offenses all year. And one is like, you can kind of squint and say like, were they that good in the Dolphins? And then the other one is the Chiefs, who they gave up 44 points to. So, I mean, I think Dallas is going to be able to score. And the 49ers also faced just one other. They faced one other team. They faced three teams that were in the top five in scoring rate per drive. The other one was the Raiders. And the Raiders scored 34 points.
Yeah, the Raiders went nuts on them. Jared Stidham almost beat Brock Purdy.
So I think the Cowboys are going to sneakily score more points here. This is the lowest game total on the board. I kind of like this game. It's sneaky as upside if you want to bet this too. Another angle too is if you want to just throw like some ancillary dollars on, is this potentially being the highest scoring game of the weekend, because it's got the best odds, the best juice. But I do like the over in this, because both of these secondaries have been playing really bad the last 2 months.
Yes. I mean, the Cowboys have a good pass rush, but yeah, they're.
I mean, they had Xavier Rhodes out there like playing snaps on Monday night. Like
Xavier Rhodes is so old, I even know his name. Like that's how old this dude is. So I the other thing that makes me want to be on the Cowboys side is like Dak just toasted the Buccaneers last week. Like he was perfect and he ran a little bit too. Like, I feel like that's an important element, but honestly to me, it's just like, I just can't believe that Brock Purdy is as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. Basically, I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe there's no difference.
Did you see that image from whatever ESPN show it was that did the tail of the tape? Yeah. I mean, you've got to see it. It's like, I think Jacob Sanderson, you know, tweeted this out. I'm gonna put it right in your DMs right now. You've got to see us, but it's basically two talking heads.
It's basically the pundit version of the Michael Jordan and Kobe video that they did when Kobe died, where like they just are doing absolutely everything the same.
Yeah, so it's basically breaking down like what tail of the tape, like what who would you take, like poise, Dak versus Purdy.
Oh my God.
It's so amazing.
This is so bad. So I don't even know who any of these people are, but yeah. I mean, look, hey, they gave Dak tail of the tape. These Total Access Live touts give poison accuracy and decision making to Brock Purdy, but at least they give arm strength and mobility to Dak. You know, I don't know.
So Dak's biggest flaw is that he's so good. He's just so subtly good. Like he doesn't do anything. Like he doesn't make the Mahomes plays really. But like Dak is so much better than like people give him credit for. Man, like he's
great, man.
I can't even believe like we're here. We're here. We're really saying like, and there's areas of NFL quarterbacking that like Brock Purdy's better than Dak Prescott in.
Could never be me, man.
There's not one thing you could say like, dude, if you flip these two guys right now, if you put Dak on this 49ers team and Purdy on this Cowboys team, like get the fuck out.
Cowboys are, I tell you what, they're dead in the water with Brock Purdy. I know that much.
What are
sure.
we doing?
You think Kellen Moore will get, I guess there's not a great head coaching opening for him now because they're kind of starting to fill up. So he'll probably be back for another year.
Yeah, I think so. And he was in his bag again. He's had his moments where, you know, they kind of take their foot off the gas. But
he vacillates between, I'm like, this guy's the greatest of all time. And this guy annoys the crap out of me. Like it, honestly, very similar to Andy Reid, where like when the Andy Reid stuff works, when he's doing Ring Around the Rosie and Noah Gray is scoring quarterback sneaks, I'm like, Andy Reid is the best. And then I'm watching the Chiefs be on the 6-yard line and have to kick a field goal because Andy just tried 6 of the dumbest plays of all time. It's like, bro, you got to get it together. But I guess I get very similar to Josh Allen. You can't take away the knife edge of some of these coaches. You got to give them the freedom to explore. I mean, Shanahan's been in his bag too, though. Shanahan is as...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the 49ers, like, they don't have, like, an apex guy that's, like, the best at his position, but they just run so deep and versatile. And that's what I keep coming back to is like the injuries the Cowboys have had on defense. Like, do they just have enough still to like stop all of this? Like you need Purdy, right? Like that's the element the Cowboys need. Like you need Purdy to be bad.
Yes.
Because yeah. I think the 49ers just have too many dudes, man.
You could make an argument that a fully healthy Debo is actually the best in the NFL at that specific like flanker.
Well, he's the only one that he's the one of one position. So I guess.
Well, it's him and Tyreek. I think him and Tyreek are actually sort of similar where it's like, it's like,
well, he can't just outrun dudes though.
No, Tyreek,
you can't just line one.
Yeah. Debo is a one. Yeah, you're right. Debo is a one of one.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy. Like you said, that play last week wasn't even a Debo play. Like nobody touched him. Like
Watching it. Like, will someone put a hand on this guy? Like, and it takes forever. That play lasted like 13 seconds. You're like, will someone just tackle this guy? Like, enough already.
No, I mean, you add McCaffrey, you got Juszczyk, you got Kittle, you've got Ayuk, who's been, you know, quiet. But this is a matchup I think where Ayuk can get over because the Cowboys have been bad on perimeter. I think Lamb's gonna have a huge game. 49ers have been really bad against wide receiver ones. They've been bad against slot receivers. So you're kind of folding both in with Lamb. I kind of, like I said, the more I dig into this game and I wrote it up and talk about myself into it, like, I just think there's going to be points in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. CeeDee Lamb, great game for him to be an alpha. Debo can be an alpha. Maybe George Kittle will continue scoring touchdowns. I mean, there's just a lot of good players in this game. And yeah, I liked the Jared Stidham callback. That's a good one. This defense can give up points if they need.
Yeah. Them. I mean, we know inherently the 49ers, like in the context of good 2023 NFL defenses, they're a good one, But like big picture, like, are there any defenses this year in the NFL that like you're legitimately like scared of? I don't think that they exist. I don't think they've existed in this.
Well, I'm not scared of any defense, because if a quarterback is just on their game, right, it will just be any, like, just a, I think that probably was always true, but it's even more so true now with like the rules and everything.
Yeah. And we just don't have one of those. Like, you know, you think back like a couple years ago when the Chiefs placed the Bucks and like how the Bucks defense was firing at the end of that year. I don't really think we have one of those teams on the defensive side, but we really haven't had one all year, right? Like the best defenses we had are basically like the Eagles, like the Broncos were awesome for a while, but like in this 49ers team, you just look at the resumes too. Like, and no teams faced a good schedule this year. Like, right. Like we could do that for every team, but nobody faced a good schedule. There weren't enough good teams.
Yeah. You beat me to it. It's just that every team is bad. So how could you play a tough schedule if 25 of the 32 teams are terrible?
Right.
All right, man, let's get out of here. Tell the people, Sharp Football, what can they find this week?
Yeah. Just firing up all these games, still breaking them down in depth, each player, you know, in the worksheet style. Other than that, we've got 3 games left to enjoy and write up. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, people have already started prospect season very early, a little earlier for my liking.
Fire a take. You got one yet?
I have no takes right now, man. I have no takes right now. I'm not ready for it yet.
What if Jaxon Smith-Njigba gets drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I will say this. I have a take. There is no way in hell Jaxon Smith-Njigba is available at pick 30 by the time the NFL draft comes.
I think that is the correct take. I think that's full on. I think imagining him going that late is full on LARPing.
Yeah, there's a take I have definitively right now.
What if he weighs 178 pounds?
I don't even think it matters anymore.
4.58.
No, well, if he runs like a 4.6, he's not gonna run a 4.
No, he'll be good. The guy played in 2 games this year. Like, he probably had plenty of time to train and get his body right.
Yeah, man, it's. Yeah, and the top of the receiver prospect, I haven't, like I said, fully dove in this class, but I know it's still relatively thin at the top, and like those guys are all going to go higher because team needs, and the way the NFL, like, you need multiple receivers now. Think about this, like, we live in a world where like a team drafted Justin Jefferson in the first round, like, still needs to draft wide receivers. Like, that's just the way we need it. Like, so like those guys are always going to go a little higher. I think there were people put those in like mock drafts early on. Like, those guys are going to get pumped up, the bags will be pumped, I assume. JSN will go firmly, like, at least above pick 20.
And I mean, so I would amend that statement to say whoever the wide receiver 2 and 3 in the class are going to go way before the Chiefs go.
Yeah.
Now it might end up being Zay Flowers and whoever, you know, I don't know. It's January 19th. Like, it's pretty early in this, but if the Chiefs take a wide receiver with their first round pick, it will be like the wide receiver 6 or 5 probably, yeah, of the draft.
Yep. I just think that's the way we're trending in towards of like team building and where the NFL is right now and the way prospects are coming out of college. You know, these guys play early too. Like, it's not like the old days. Like, you still do get like the second half rookie bumps for like some guys, like playing time and surging, but like these guys are counted on to like contribute right away now.
I mean, like, rookie wide, like, it's like Sky Moore being bad this year is like actively hurt the Chiefs. Like, they needed him.
Yeah.
And he was not the guy. Yeah.
He was not the guy at all.
No. What are you doing if you unfortunately have Sky Moore on a team?
I think all you can do is pray, man, to the football deities. It's like a Terrace Marshall situation from last year. It's like the same thing, right? Yeah. Except for, like, you at least have an out because you could say, well, my guy's on the Chiefs. but you're stuck, man. It's very similar to the Terrace Marshall thing from a year ago where he ended up being like in that, you know, late first. But it's dire, man. It's dire. Because the Chiefs are going to do nothing. But one, they added Tony already, who basically has like kind of like an inline to that role because he's already playing it ahead of Sky Moore.
Yeah, basically, like, Tony to me is just like, he's a free agent signing. Like, he hasn't played at all, and they're going to do like a full evaluation of him next year, I think.
And then we know they're going to still add, they're probably going to add players too. So do they bring Juju back, whatever? Like,
no, I'll say right now, almost no chance, because I think Juju made himself a bunch of money. The wide receiver free agents are so bad.
Yeah,
I think
DJ Shark's like the best dude. Him and
like
Juju.
Someone's throwing a Christian Kirk-sized vomit bag at Smith-Schuster, I think.
Yeah, And Jacoby Myers is getting the, he's getting paid.
Oh, Jacoby Myers might be a Chief, actually. That's actually a signing I could see them making.
Yep. That's where we are, though.
Don't love it.
Yeah. So listen, we get a couple. This is typically this weekend was a great weekend of football last year. Hopefully we have the same thing. We got some great games.
Well, Super Wild Card weekend was actually awesome. Normally these wild card games stink. You know, that's like the Derek Carr weekend, but it was actually great. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, great weekend great weekend of football, man. But we gotta put a moratorium on the Monday night game. Like it's bad for the league, I think, to have a Monday night game, a wild card. I know it's not bad for their pockets. I'm not saying that, but like you look at what this situation the Cowboys were placed in, and like you created an unequal advantage to a playoff team.
Yes.
And like, I don't think you can have that really going forward. That has to be in the cards, man. Like a part of the decision process. I know you want these scoops of cash, but eventually is enough is enough.
Correct. I agree. All right, man, let's get out of here. Everyone, Sharp Football, Lord Reeves, you guys know where to find him. We'll be back next week.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.